570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM570 yes. LA Sports.
Big shout to our man Jacob and Ronnie for coming on, Fred. We love him.
Oh, we love him.
He's the best.
He is the best.
He's the best in town.
And can I give a shout out?
Not even close. Not even close.
Rodney, it's not even a competition.
Not even close. Jacob and Ronnie's the man.
Why do you think he's been here 25 years?
Damn right, Fred. Cares.
Why do you think?
Because he's the best in the business.
That's right. Can I give a shout out?
Sure.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Mike Bukowski.
Okay.
Okay. Who is Mike Bukowski?
Who?
That's the guy from Monsters, Inc., right?
That is not the guy from Monsters,
Inc. Oh, that's Mike Bukowski. My bad. And Mike Wachowski. My bad.
No, Mike Bukowski is the basketball coach at Chapman University. He's been there 30 years. And last night he won his 500th game.
What?
500 games. 500 wins for Mike Bukowski. So I wanted to give a shout out, congratulate Coach Bo. They're having a really good year. Hopefully it continues. He's a great guy. So congratulations to Coach Bo down at Chapman. 500 victories. That's a lot of wins and a lot of
years. Love it. Congratulations.
Yep, he's put together a great program. Now let's have some spirituality. Let's come together. Be who we are. And let's be what we need to be. And to make all of that go, we welcome on Vic the Brick with a daily haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon, Fred.
Hello, Vic.
I'm so glad you dropped Chapman, the great city of Orange. Vic. Our band, Meshuggahs with Attitude, did a fundraiser there.
Oh, you did?
A few years ago.
Wait, say that again?
Meshuggahs with Attitude, MWA.
No, they did?
And I was so inspired by Chapman that when we did the song, I actually got up on a table. I was doing the lead singing on a table and freaked out.
What?
Stevie Lavin. I believe Stevie Lavin was there in the house.
Stevie Lavin?
Steve Lavin just happened to randomly be there, or did
in
you
the
invite
house.
Him?
I believe he was in the house.
Huh.
And we did a little fundraiser there at Chapman. What a beautiful, beautiful school. Great film school, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
For all your aspiring producers, directors, film business, or just call it the business. Is that what we call it, the business, here in Hollywood?
Yeah, you can call it the business.
The business.
Yeah.
It's a the blessed business. It's a blessing to have the film industry. There's so many great schools producing. You know, USC produces some incredible talent. UCLA. Just us. We have so many incredible academic institutions in Southern California. We are truly blessed.
Vic, I have to, I got to give you some bad news, though, because last night in Coach Bo's 500th victory, Chapman Panthers beat the Poets of Whittier.
Look at me, I'm a wreck.
Yeah, beat the Poets. No poetry last night, Vic.
The Fighting Poets.
Yeah.
They were a scrappy bunch.
They were.
Scrappy.
Poets.
Yep.
They're the Poets, man. They will leave no verse unturned.
That's fair.
That's their mantra before they hit the court.
That's right. Well, they must have hit the verses right inside. They came out and got beat.
You know, when they break a huddle, you know what the mantra is?
What is it?
Lawrence Ferlinghetti! Lawrence Ferlinghetti! Lawrence Ferlinghetti!
What?
The great beat poet from San Francisco.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti?
Lawrence Ferlinghetti. For many years, for decades upon decades, a voice of liberation and freedom.
Yes.
City Lights Bookstore. City Lights Bookstore. That should be the next mantra when they break a huddle. City Lights! City Lights! City Lights! Anyway. Good afternoon, Rodney Pete, the king of the hot read.
VTB!
It's all about the hot read. And you know, Jimmy G against Matthew Stafford and hot reads. Hello, Matthew Stafford.
Hello.
Hello.
Has he thrown a touchdown pass in a playoff game, Jimmy G, this season?
He has not yet, no.
He's always 0 for 2. So when he hands the ball off to Samuel, I mean, what does he do? He manages the game. A good game manager is not going to beat the Rams on Sunday. Jimmy G, forget about it. You got to make plays to beat the Rams, the sensational Rams defense. But
he manages wins, Vic. That's all he does.
I know he wins.
Manages wins.
I get that.
And he's beaten the Rams twice already this year, Vic.
I know they've won six straight. I know the whole situation. Listen, I get it. But like I say, every game is unique and singular.
See.
Executive producer, Rogan and Rodney Show. He's relentless. His knowledge runs rampant. It even runs amok. It's Kevin Figgis.
Come on now.
His arc of sound arches over the mightiest cloud of joy. It's Ronnie Fascio.
Walking the path of righteousness. He's our beat poet, King Flavor. Nah.
Yeah. Never separate yourself from the ways of the warrior. You can hit me with a gong there.
Gong.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
It's actually another Rams mantra for Sunday. They will not separate themselves from the ways of the warrior. They will thrive in that situation. But that's another story.
Yes.
Actually, it's the only story. Along with LeBron's knee. But you know what, fellas? Bron or no Bron tonight in Philadelphia? The Lakers may have found that spirit in Brooklyn as they marched into the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Ronnie, hit me. Oh, yeah.
Well, Elton John.
Get well soon, Elton John.
Heal quickly, Elton. We love you. The great Elton John. You know, I remember when Elton went on Soul Train circa 1975 and laid this song down. And the Soul Train dancers were all around him.
Yeah.
It was insane. Because this song is so brilliant. This is a brilliant song.
What's it about?
It's being free, Fred.
I thought it was about the Philadelphia Freedoms tennis team.
Billie Jean King.
Yep.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Isn't BJK free?
She
is freedom. And the Lakers are free to roam about the court against Embiid tonight, with or without the amazing, the brilliant LeBron James.
They might as well not even play if he doesn't play, Vic.
Oh, they could beat Philadelphia without LeBron.
You think?
I do. I mean, Russell will have to step up, score 30. Anthony's going to have to big game. You know, Monk. The usual suspects have to produce. Ariza's going to have a big bounce back game if Ariza's okay. We'll see Horton Tucker step up. I mean, a lot of guys can step up tonight in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Stanley Johnson celebrating his new contract. Stanley should be stepping up tonight.
Like that sign.
Shine light!
Oh God.
Come on, everybody. Love, love, love.
Yes,
come
I
on.
Do. Yes, I do, Vic. There you go.
Tell it, Freddie. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Walk it up, Fred. Yes, I do. Yes, I do believe that without LeBron, they can still beat Philly. Although Embiid's having a hell of a year.
Great year.
That's Shaquille's MVP candidate, by the way.
He's having a great year.
Not Curry. Shaquille says it's Embiid. And that leads me to the haiku for you on this Thursday, January 27th. And shout out to my very good friend Richard Coopersmith, celebrating his birthday today. He's Richard. In Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Very nice.
Richard Coopersmith.
Richard
I went cross country with Coop in a 72 Super Beetle.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And we had a two-man mountain tent, and we spent 2.5 months together in the tent.
How'd that go?
Sensational.
Now, should we have him on, or are you going to put him on Petros and Money? Because you've had your brother, you're going to put your sister on.
Well, it's very possible. Cooper Smith has never been on, but he's one of the great chiropractors in America today. He practices in Connecticut. He practices in Newtown, Connecticut, small town outside of Danbury.
I thought he was in Delray Beach, Florida.
He's chilling.
Oh, he's there now.
Yes, he's just chilling.
Oh, okay.
So, happy birthday, Coop. And this haiku is by Toga, T-O-G-A.
All right, now this is new, the Toga Man.
Like a toga party.
Yeah.
Toga.
Rodney, did you ever have a toga party at USC back in the day?
Oh, Vic, I got some stories for you.
I knew you would. I knew
Trojans.
You would.
Trojans and togas? Come on, Vic. That
oh,
was
yeah. Week. That's what I'm talking about.
Freddy.
That's when toga parties were out of control.
Out of control, Vic.
Out of control.
Oh, my God.
Fred, you ever toga party at NBC4 back in the day when everyone was loose?
No, Vic. We didn't have a toga party when people were loose at NBC4, nor did I have one in Globe, Arizona, either.
I'm a little stunned by that.
Yeah. What, Globe or NBC?
NBC.
No.
NBC? You didn't have... wild folks over there at NBC, Fred. You can't tell me you didn't have any...
Oh, it was
wild
nuts over there, Fred, back in the day.
Over there at NBC with some wild folks over there.
No,
at the Peacock.
There you separated church and state.
Celebrating the jumbo ratings?
Yeah, no. The only time we celebrated ratings when we did really well, our GM was Carol Black, who went on to run Lifetime TV. And that's the time she had the big party in the newsroom, and they brought a mime in. And the mime ran around and scared everybody.
That's a tough gig.
Yeah.
The mime scared everybody.
Mime terrified me. I didn't want that mime around me.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like mimes.
So you also have a thing against clowns?
Not a huge fan.
Wow.
Tears of a clown.
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
And the Miracles.
Yes. What do we know about Toga, Vic?
Under the radar.
Okay.
I'm not finding much there, Fred. By much, I mean literally nothing.
It could be a parallel to the NFC Championship game you can hear right here on your home of the NFL on Super Bowl 56, AM 570 LA Sports at 3:30 on Sunday. Could be a parallel to an X Factor stepping up in that game. It'll be a tight game. Rams will win, but there will be an X Factor. There just won't be guys like Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. It could be, I believe, an under-the-radar guy is going to step up and make some gigantic plays. Like Toga today. Under the radar.
Right. Someone we've never heard of, and Kevin can find no evidence of ever existing.
And making plays.
Okay.
Toga.
Yeah, we got that.
Toga.
T-O-G-A.
Circa, what'd you say, Vic? Circa what?
Just to project, I would say 1750s, 7 to 1800.
How would you know that if there is no information on him?
Because my affinity for the haiku poet is very intense, Fred.
Vic, we cannot find one word about this guy, and now you say you know when he lived.
Usually, Fred, there's even a reference to the person Vic is talking to from somewhere else.
Yeah.
All I'm getting is They're trying to correct me and saying, do you mean yoga, Haikyuu? And I was like, no, I don't. I do not.
He's not Basho. He's not Busan. He's not Shiki. He's not Issa. He's Toga.
Yeah, we got that.
Toga. Nothing on Toga, huh?
Not a thing.
Anything on Tonga?
It's not Tonga. It's Toga.
You know my first book report in elementary school? You know what it was on?
Was it on Tonga?
Yes.
And what did you learn about Tonga, Vic?
An incredible, incredible island. Incredible island. Sensational people. And they make up half of the National Football League. Just look at the roster. I'm kidding. It's not half, but incredible for the population of Tonga.
What the hell are you talking about?
Tongans
make
up half
the National Football League, but not half? And you go, no, it's no, half, not half.
Have you ever checked the roster?
Of what?
Many Tongans.
Okay, we don't have time for Kevin to go over the roster of every NFL team.
I'm just saying.
I would say, based off anecdotal evidence, you can probably say that for, you know, BYU or Utah rosters in football, sure. The NFL, I don't know if I can go as high as 50% there, Vic.
Well, I'm not saying 50%. I'm saying look at the population in ratio to Tongans' population and the number of Tongans who have played in the National Football League. I would say it's a majestic percentage.
Well, if it's majestic... Aren't Tongans in rugby?
Rugby is one of their great sports. They're great athletes, the Tongans.
Yeah. What's the biggest
thing? Admire
city?
Them while you may.
Oh, all right, fine. Is this the haiku?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
By Toga.
Right.
T-O-G-A.
Yes.
And blessings to Tonga on the recovery from the... from the catastrophe.
Yes.
Blessings to all the Tongans. We pray for them as they come back. They will rally. They're a very resilient people. Admire them while you may. The cherry drops its petals and the water wheel its spray. And Stafford the cop, I'm feeling you. Toga. Even
there it
was. 1800s, he knows a divine connection.
There it is.
Stafford the cop. The cup.
Yeah. Okay, Vic. Once again, Vic.
Amazing Stafford how they the project cup. Hundreds of years later a divine connection.
They knew.
They did, Rodney.
Toga didn't know, Vic. No. Toga didn't know. You made that up. You took that from somewhere.
How
beginning.
Dare you?
Well,
how
no,
dare
because
you?
The bottom line is this. If we're to be honest with each other, and I think we can be. We've known each other a long time.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't know who Toga is, and I don't think you do either. I think you took part of a haiku from somebody, called it from Toga, and then added your Matthew Stafford Cooper Kupp line. I think that's what happened today.
I did add the Tonga reference. That I did. And I did also... as a enhancer, I did add Stafford to cop, channeling my inner Toga.
It's not real. it's not real.
It's called poetic license, Fred.
I understand.
And when you write the haiku, you can too. When you write the haiku, you can add your enhancement. It is not restrictive.
When are we gonna have Brenda back?
When baseball season comes around.
Okay, well, you know, they're having negotiations. Can you do a Brenda tomorrow?
No.
Why?
The negotiations.
Nice.
What do you say? We're not closer. When we get closer to baseball season, and we will, because both sides, you know, have found some sanity at the table, there will be a settlement, and there will be spring training.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think we all have this gut feeling that they're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking.
Yeah.
They're negotiating.
Yes.
They're giving and taking.
They're taking and giving.
And that's the key. So Brenda will be back for you, Fred.
All right. Yeah. At least she's a real person.
Are you doubting Toga?
Yes, I am, Vic. I'm being very
you
honest
what?
With you.
You are. I can't believe you today, Fred.
No, I'm doubting
Toga. Yeah,
you.
Fred.
The doubt. Yeah. Seeds of doubt, Fred.
That's
Why?
Right. You know what? They're germinating.
Well, do not let them be pernicious seeds.
Well, that's the last thing I want to do.
Don't plant them.
I don't want them to be pernicious seeds.
do not plant them, Fred.
All right. You know what, Vic? One day we're going to do a segment. You know what that segment's going to be?
What's that?
Is it a real word or did you make it up?
Real word?
Real word. We'll have somebody call in and you'll give a sentence. And we'll make them pick out the fake words. The words you just made up but sound real.
Kevin figures we'd be working on that new segment.
I'm all over it.
Okay, nice enthusiasm on that, Kev. Really appreciate it. Well done.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Fire by Jacob and Ronnie. He was on earlier. He's the best in the business. He's our attorney, and he should be yours. If you find yourself in trouble, you suffer any type of personal injury, please call the man himself, Jacob and Ronnie.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Lots of news around the NFL today, but we'll start home side with, of course, the Rams hosting the NFC title game against the Niners this weekend. And in Sean McVay's most recent press conference, he was asked by a reporter whether or not Kyle Shanahan is in his head. We know that the 49ers, as Vic mentioned a minute ago, 6-0 against the 49ers against the Rams in Sean McVay's tenure. So here is McVay's answer to the question, is Kyle Shanahan in your head?
No. What I do have is respect for these guys. They've done a great job. You know, you look at it, you got to play well in that 3.5-hour window that we're allotted. You look at the last time that we played them, didn't finish the game, but this is a really good football team. We have a lot of respect for them, but you know, we're competing and preparing to the best of our ability to go out and see if we can advance. But this is a really good team. Kyle's an excellent coach. They got great players, great coaches, good schemes, and so this is why they're in the NFC Championship.
Now, even if it was true, we obviously know Sean McVay will never admit to it. But do you believe, Fred, that it's a possibility that there'd be some sleepless nights for Sean McVay this week, wondering, man, how do I beat this guy?
I think this. I don't think he's in his head, but I do think he is annoying the living crap out of it. I think it probably eats at Sean McVay. They've not been able to beat the 49ers. So, I mean, is he walking around going, what's Shanahan going to try now? What about this? I don't think that is at all. But what I do think, this is really annoying and frustrating for him, Rodney.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think more so it's annoying, it's frustrating when you have a friend, even if it's a brother, and they got the best of you in your last matchups or last several matchups. It is annoying because he's got to answer that question that was just asked him. And that's the thing that it probably is annoying more than anything is, oh, damn, I got to answer this question, you know, until we beat him. But no, rattling around in his head, no, I think it's different for a coach as it is for a player. You know, a player sometimes, if you're going up against one-on-one, say a receiver is going up against a defensive back or vice versa, then that can happen more often than a head coach to head coach because you're actually playing on the field. You know, there's no secret of what the 49ers do, not only to the Rams, but have done to people in their run this year. That is, run the football and be physical. And so it's not like he's outsmarting anybody. He is just doing what the 49ers do, and they're doing it better than the Rams can stop it. And that's been the issue, more so than I think Shanahan outsmarting McVay or rattling around in his head, is that the 49ers have been a physical team, and their wins against the Rams, they have won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Exactly, Rodney. It's not about the coaches. It's about the players. And the 49ers' running game is relentless. And that's the key to this game, is the trenches. And Trent Williams, the left tackle, is he going to play? I think he will. The, you know, 320 pounds of perennial all-pro tackle, you know, for the 49ers. You know he's going to play. But it's about players making plays. It's not about coaches. I think Shanahan called it a ludicrous question, and he's right. It's not about the coaches in the six straight games. It's that the 49ers out-executed the Rams in those six games. It wasn't about Shanahan versus McVay. It wasn't McVay versus right. Shanahan. So, again, Sunday, 3:30, AM 570 LA Sports, NFC Championship game. It's going to boil down to the trenches. It's going to boil down to execution. It's going down to who will grab the moment, who has the hunger, and the hunger will belong to the Rams. Oh, come on now.
And you're right, Vic. When Kyle Shanahan was asked about that this morning on his media session, he said that the coaches get way too much credit in situations like this. So
right.
All right. Speaking of coaches, some head coaching movement around the NFL. The Bears hired Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator from the Indianapolis Colts,
who?
To be their head coach. He is.
Ooh.
He's the defensive coordinator from the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Eberflus. That is his name.
I got your Eberflus right here.
Wow.
Eberflus.
Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. They really showed out last week.
Matt Hackett.
Not Paul Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett. Going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos. A surprising one, and we have a lot of Cowboys fans out here in Los Angeles. Dan Quinn, a hot name for a lot of head coaching stops. The Bears, the Broncos, Giants, Vikings, interviewed for all those jobs. He withdrew his name from any head coaching considerations this year and says he will remain with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I have a theory. You tell me if you think I'm crazy here, Fred. And it's not the craziest thing or like a deep in thought, but I just thought, you know, the Cowboys struggle at times this year, especially down the stretch offensively. Their defense was excellent. Mike McCarthy's name was questioned as to whether or not he should be the head coach. Do you believe there could be a wink, wink, nudge, nudge between Dan Quinn and Jerry and Stephen Jones, where if things go south next season, Mike McCarthy could be out the door and they could elevate Dan Quinn? And that prompted Dan Quinn to say thanks, but no thanks. I want my shot to possibly coach America's team as the head coach next year or after next year.
If there is a wink, wink deal, that is bad. That's...
I didn't say that it was ethical. I just asked if you think it was a possibility.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, because that's not how you want to do business. You can't have the guy in charge looking over his shoulder immediately because there's another guy who's just sitting there waiting for him to fail. I don't know, Rodney. Is that how they do it in the NFL?
Why are you asking me? I don't know how they do it. It's between Jerry and whoever else. But I don't think that's the case in this situation, because I think Jerry, as long as Dak Prescott's there, is going to lean offensive. And it does shock me. Well, going back to what you said about Chicago, who'd they hire again?
Matt Eberflus. He was the defensive coordinator for the Colts.
Yeah. I mean, it shocks me that with a young superstar quarterback that needs development, that they went defense on that hire. It's just it's real interesting. But no, I think more interesting than the Dan Quinn staying there is that Sean Payton will be sitting out there in the wings if anything goes. So if anything, before Dan Quinn, Jerry would reach out to Sean Payton for the next position at the Cowboys before Dan Quinn.
And is this a possibility? Dan Quinn had the interviews, talked to the people, and then thought, you know what, I'm not going to get these jobs. For whatever reason, he just walked away feeling, I'm not going to get one.
Yeah.
So I'm out. You know, I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to announce that I'm staying before you tell me I didn't get the job.
Or it's not the right fit. You know, he already flamed out in Atlanta. He says you only get a couple of bites at the apple as a head coach, so maybe they weren't the right fit. That could be it, too.
Rodney, you nailed it. The wink, wink is with Sean Payton.
Don't you want to give a come on now?
I'll tell you why.
Come on now. Oh, okay.
He left. What he left the Saints situation because the Saints are a mess at quarterback. There's nothing there. He's got nothing at quarterback. So he left the Saints, right? So where's he going? Imagine him and Prescott, him and Dak teamed up with his offensive mind. You think Jerry Jones wants a defense? He looks at his offense. He says, I have players, man. How come I'm not winning playoff games with Dak? I need an offensive genius. I need an offensive guy who's going to get me to the next level. That's Payton. That's the wink, wink. Rodney, you nailed it. It's not with Dan Quinn. Come on now.
All right, good.
There it is.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Hey, don't miss the NFL Championship games this Sunday. AFC game features the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals, with coverage beginning at 11 a.m. on AM 1150. Then at 3:30, it's on. Catch the action of the NFC Championship game between the San Francisco 49ers. Brought to you by the Hollywood Park Casino. Elevate your game. Must be 21 years of age or older to enter. Okay, when we come back, Rich Hammond, let's get into the Rams.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Hey, that's
Hey. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Hey, Lisa Fox here. When not getting benched or thrown out of a game, they're on the radio with you. You're listening to Rogan and Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports.
Let's go, let's go. Throwback Thursday, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Come on, it's almost game day, Fred.
Yep, 2 hours for us today, don't forget. The week leading up to the Super Bowl, Monday the 7th, we are at Hollywood Park. We'll do the show from noon to 3. LeVar Arrington will be with us. TJ Houssman-Shahada will be with us. Eric
Say that
Dickerson.
Again?
Houssman-Shahada. 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 Houssman-Shahada.
Shahada. There you go. There you go, Freddie. You got it. You well, got it. You got it.
Somewhere in there.
He's yeah. You got it.
Eric Dickerson will be with us. But get there early. Hollywood Park. We'll have stuff to give away. We look forward to seeing you. All of our listeners that tweet the show all the time. We've not met Nature Boy. Bill Kittle, we've met. Julie Mack, don't know if she'll be able to be down there. But everybody that participates in the show, we would love to see at Hollywood Park. That's on the 7th. Then on the Thursday of that week, 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica. The last time we were there, it was jammed. So we'll give stuff away there as well. Please, if you're coming, get there early. Now we bring on senior editor for The Athletic and host of the 11 Personnel Podcast on the Rams, our buddy Rich Hammond. Rich, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Okay. Is it difficult if you're a coach to hear, is another coach in your head? If you're Sean McVay, is that a question you want asked about Kyle Shanahan?
No, I don't think any of us do. I don't think anybody wants, hey, is somebody in your head? Hey, Fred, are the other sportscasters in your head? No, I don't think anybody wants to hear that. It's not a fun thing. And, you know, knowing how competitive these guys are, and I know you guys know Sean McVay, I've talked to him. I mean, if you want to put up a list of the most competitive coaches, I think he's probably near the top. So to know that not only has he lost on this losing streak to Kyle Shanahan, but Kyle Shanahan is also a good friend of his. I mean, they kind of grew up together in the coaching ranks, you know, under Kyle's dad, obviously. So it's got to be eating at him. I mean, I know what Sean says about this, and he's going to say, no, it's just about the matchups, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe it for a second. I think it is very personal, and it's only human nature that you want to get that off your back.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's one of those, if your close friend, you know, when you're competitive, you want to beat. I mean, you want to beat him all the time. I mean, I used to always go up against friends of mine that I played against, and yeah, because in the off season you could always tease him about it. But as far as rattling around in somebody's head, even for players, I mean, everybody, it's for us to talk about that, oh, the 49ers beat them the last 6 times. But as players, as they prepare for this week, they're not even thinking about that. They're thinking about the next time that they play each other. Who has more pressure, Rich, on winning this game, Sean McVay or Matthew Stafford?
I think Sean McVay does. I think, you know, the questions that we had about Matthew Stafford a couple weeks ago, you know, a lot of people ask, oh, is he going to win a playoff game? Can he perform in these big moments? He answered those questions. He's won 2 playoff games. He got put in the worst possible position you could be put in last week, needing to go down the field to avoid overtime. And he made 2 absolutely perfect throws to get them in field position. So I think especially given this matchup, Rodney, and everything that you just said, I think there's a little more pressure on Sean McVay, because if he loses again to Kyle Shanahan, that's going to be the narrative. I mean, unless Matthew Stafford goes out there and throws 4 interceptions and it's just terrible, the narrative, if the Rams lose, is very likely to be, oh, Sean McVay loses to Kyle Shanahan again. So for that reason, and because of the fact that, again, Matthew Stafford has largely delivered in these 2 playoff games, I think that narrative has changed a little bit, and probably a little bit more of the pressure goes on to McVay.
Rich, when we look at the game, 49ers, look, the reason the 49ers beat the Rams the first time is they just punched them right in the mouth. Second time, for whatever reason, the Rams didn't show up in the second half, and the 49ers brought in some reserves or some extra guys, and bam, beat them good there. But the 49ers are really, really banged up, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you know, the Rams dealt with that a little bit with Tampa Bay last week, where they were having some big issues on the offensive line, and you saw that they were able to take advantage of that and just battering Tom Brady the way that they did. So that's unfortunate, and I say that as a neutral observer. You like to see these teams at their strength. You like to see them at 100%, especially when you get to a game like this, because you want to see best on best. And you know, the Rams are dealing with their own stuff too. They're not perfect. They're not healthy. They don't have a fully healthy left tackle right now. It looks like Andrew Whitworth is going to be able to come back and play, but he's dealing with a knee issue. Joe Noteboom had a pectoral issue. He may not even play at all. So, but to your point, Fred, I mean, yeah, it's just, you want to be able to look at those and see how do we exploit them. And that's what the Rams need to do on both sides of the ball. You said it, they were two very different games in terms of how they were played and the strategies that changed during the games. I don't think this is going to be a game where, some magical coaching strategy is going to make the difference. It really is just going to be who's going to line up. Are the Rams going to be able to tackle? Are they going to take the right pursuit angles on Deebo Samuel? Can they wrap him up? Can they avoid turnovers? I mean, not to simplify it too much, but I really do think it comes down to some of the fundamentals in this game. If it's Rams Chiefs, that's a different story. I mean, that's, you know, then you're looking at a whole bunch of different coaching things that you need to do. But in this game, I really just think it's going to be a lot about fundamentals.
Yeah, and a lot's been made going back to Sean McVay and some of the big losses that he has had in his stint here with the Rams. It feels like, or it's probably a reality, that he has not made great adjustments in the second half. And even in that last game against the 49ers, granted, you know, it was tough sledding running the football in the second half, but you can't abandon it so early that you're leaving Matthew Stafford as a sitting duck when you're throwing the football in the second half. How much do you think he's learned from it, and could this be another narrative of Sean McVay's adjustments in the second half? Because those were back to the Super Bowl with Belichick, there were lack of adjustments.
For sure, yeah, you need to be self-aware and that sort of thing, and that's where you need to lean on your systems a little bit too. To they have a different set of eyes, they're looking at it from a different perspective. You need to be able to get that feedback from them and say, hey, you know what, maybe we're getting a little too predictable here. Maybe we're getting a little one-sided, or, hey, you know what, they're exploiting this gap, or you know, they're seeing this coming. You need to be able to do that, and that's what the 49ers did very well in the second game, actually, on their side of the ball. I mean, you watched that first half, and, you know, the Rams defense was swarming all over the place. They were not giving them any space. And the 49ers looked at that seemingly and said, you know what, we're not going to try to run that way anymore. We're going to run it outside. We're going to work in some pitches. We're going to run some sweeps. We're going to get Deebo Samuel out there in space where they have to go tackle him. And the Rams weren't able to adjust. And that's where the 49ers made that adjustment. On the other side of the ball, just like you said, Rodney, you can't, if you're getting that pressure, you can't just drop Matthew Stafford straight back and have him be a sitting duck there. You've got to work in some play action. You've got to maybe, you know, bootleg him out a little bit and get him on the move. So those things are very, very important. And whether it's halftime or even just the middle of the second quarter, whatever it may be, you've got to be able to self-diagnose and see what's going wrong and see what you need to fix. And I think it's fair to say, I'm not trying to be a hot take here, but I think it's fair to say that in the first two matchups, Kyle Shanahan did a better job than Sean McVay with that stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with you, especially in that second game. He really made adjustments at halftime. Do you find it interesting, Rich, the reports from Vivid Tickets and StubHub saying that 40% of the tickets on the secondary market is being up by people that are going to wear red? Do you expect more red in the stadium than blue this week?
More? No, probably not. I don't know what the percentage was last time. It's hard to judge that stuff. But yeah, it's look, this is not a, I know it's a talking point or whatever, but you know, we've seen it all over the place. The only team that I know of that's kind of immune to it is the Lakers. But even then you can hear, but I mean, you go to Dodger games sometimes and you hear a good, you know, percentage of road fans, or Clippers games, Angels games. I mean, this is something that happens in LA when you have a lot of transplants here, when you have a place that's easy to get to. The other problem here, guys, not to get too deep into the weeds, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, oh, you know, Rams fans selling tickets, or or, you know, the second era, you know, selling to 49ers fans, or you know, putting a ban on people from outside of Southern California. But a lot of this is the brokers. I mean, the brokers are buying up those tickets. And they will resell them to anybody. So it's not really a case where, oh, Rams fans are selling out or they're selling to 49ers fans. It's really not what's going on here. I mean, it's an open market. These tickets are really expensive. And, you know, 49ers fans are willing to pay that once a year or now twice a year to do that. And it's tougher when you're a Rams fan. You might be going to 6 or 7 games a year at that cost. So, to answer your question, yeah, I would expect a big percentage. I think it'll be more like that Dallas playoff game in 2018, where there was a lot of the same fear, like, oh my goodness, it's just going to be 75% Dallas fans. And it wasn't. There was a good percentage of them there for sure, but it wasn't overwhelming. So I go into it kind of expecting something like that.
Yeah. How much do you think that that's going to affect some of the players? Because they commented on that last game that it was a lot, you know, the noise factor for the Rams players being at home was a factor.
Right.
And we talked about earlier, you know, being in each other's head, but that I know that was an issue. And from the 40, more so I think for the 49er fans, 49er standpoint, players that we're playing a home game, yeah. Our fans are out in full force. That's going to give us extra energy. I think they fed off of that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ronnie. I mean, you would know a lot better than I would, but every, you know, athlete that I've talked to, even in other sports, in hockey or you know, basketball or whatever, I think it's more about the visiting team. I think they get pumped up when, you know, when they come out there and you know, they hear a huge, you know, percentage of their fan base cheering for them or chanting for them or whatever. I tend to think it's more mental than it is. You know, people talk about, oh, you know, Stafford might have to go to a silent count or things like that. You know, that's not a huge problem, I don't think. It's not right. Comfortable, but it's also not something he's unfamiliar with. I think it's just more of that mental aspect of like, oh my goodness, you know, if you're the home team, like what's going on here? We're supposed to have the advantage here, and you know, we're getting shouted down in our own building. But more so, like you said, Rodney, if you're the visiting team, like man, that's got to give you a boost. You're out there on the road, and you know you got a huge cheering section there. So I tend to think it goes more the other way. I agree with you,
Rich. Thanks for jumping on, host of the 11 Personnel podcast, and senior editor, associate editor, assistant editor, and owner of The Athletic, Rich Hammond. Rich, thanks for coming on.
All right, guys, take care.
Oh, hey, we've got 2 4-pack of tickets to the NFL Experience. Give them away right now. 866-987-2570. Rodney, give us 2 caller numbers.
Number 5, number 9.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peach.
An athlete.
Rodney Peach.
A father.
Rodney Peach.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peach.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570, LA Sports.
Hey, Guillermo Luis, congratulations. You won a 4-pack of tickets to the Super Bowl Experience. Stop by and see the Built Ford Tough Electrified Tailgate at Super Bowl Experience, featuring Ford Electric and hybrid trucks and their ability to electrify your NFL fan tailgate. Brought to you by Southern California Ford dealers and Ford, the official trucks of Super Bowl 56. Keep listening for your next chance to win from your home of Super Bowl 56, AM 570, LA Sports. Kevin, Ronnie, thank you. Rodney, 2 hours for us tomorrow, so we'll talk then.
Yes!
Cost me more to be free than a life in the bin. Making money over cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say,
the place to be.
To live and die in LA.